host, Jim Madonna from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulous gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaska mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska gold trails. Well, folks, we've got a fascinating program here for you today, and we have, in just a few minutes, we're going to introduce our guest, Dr. Ernie Wolf. But first, let's do what we do to give away a free dinner for two at Laura's Gold Rush, and that, of course, is our Frontier History Quiz. Now, folks, if you'd like to play our Frontier History Quiz, you have to give us a call at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. If you think you have the answer to our quiz question today, give us a call once again at 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. The question for today, folks, is who is credited with staking the first claim in the Klondike? So, in between, while you're thinking about that question, this is Jim, you're on the air.
Felix Pedro?
Not quite.
Okay.
Felix, that was Fairbanks, but wait a minute, we don't want anybody to go away.
Because you don't have any other callers?
Well, no. It was a real quick call. But look, why don't you stop, give us your name, and stop down at Alaskan Prospectors and pick up a free sample of Alaska placer gold there. How about that? What's your name?
Yvonne McKee. It sounds great to me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Yes, is it McQuestion?
No, sorry. It wasn't a question, but why don't you give us your name, and we'll send you down to Alaska Prospectors to pick up a free sample of Alaska placer gold. How's that?
Oh, okay. That'd be fine.
What's your name?
Rita Bailey.
Rita?
Bailey.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rita. Okay, folks, while we're waiting for another call, let's take a look at one of our sponsors here. Jim and Jeanette James of North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repairs, located on Badger Road, 1 mile from North Pole Intersection, directly across from the telephone company, want you to know that if you've got lawnmowers, tillers, 3- and 4-wheel ATVs, and motorcycles that need work, Jim can and will repair them. That's right. If you've got a small engine that needs repair, just call Jim or Jeanette at 488-7373 or 488-9339. And listen to this, folks. If you've got some painting or construction to finish up before the winter arrives, they have the rental equipment you need to get the job done. Whether it's saws, power tools, heaters, generators, pressure washers, loaders, or compactors, North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair will rent the proper equipment to finish up that late summer job. That's North Pole Equipment and Small Engine Repair, located at 3068 Badger Road, across from the telephone company, serving the people of North Pole and Fairbanks with quality small engine repair and equipment rentals. Give Jeanette or Jim a call at 488-7373 or 488-9339.
We're going to put some people on hold, so just hang on.
Yeah.
Hi, hang on. We're going to put you on hold. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, we're going to put you on hold. Are you there? Hello?
Hello, yeah.
And we're going to put you on hold.
Okay.
Hi, we're going to put you on hold. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, we're going to put you on hold. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, this is Jim. You're on the air.
Yeah.
You got an answer for our question?
Was it McDonald?
No. I'm sorry. But... Give us your name, and we'll send you down to Alaska Prospectors where you can pick up a free piece of Alaska placer mining gold.
Yeah, it's Walter Lord, Sr.
Walter, okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Walter.
Uh-huh.
Hello, you're on the air.
Well, let me try to scoot them, Jim.
Close, real close, but not no cigar. What's your name? We'll send you down to Alaska Prospectors for a free piece of Alaska placer gold.
That's all right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Hello, you're on the air.
George Carmack.
George Washington Carmack, right on. That's the name you were looking for. And what's your name?
Dick Hanscom.
Dick, thanks for the call, and you have just won dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike, right across from the Daily News. Now, you know what's at, Dick?
Sure do.
Okay, well, you got it. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay,
well,
Dick, you
come up to KFAR and get your certificate for that.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You were going to say that too, weren't you?
I certainly was.
See that?
I'm sorry.
There are four people who hung up who had the same answer.
Well, can we send you over to Alaska Prospectors for a free piece of Alaska placer gold?
You bet.
Okay, what's your name?
Sue Hankinson.
Sue, you got it. You just stop over there at 504 College Road, and the people there will give you a free piece of Alaska placer gold.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, folks. And thanks for playing our Frontier History Quiz. Now, I'd like to introduce our guest today, and that's Dr. Ernest Wolf, who is a longtime miner and educator here in the state of Alaska. And how are you doing today, Ernie?
Pretty good, Jim. Thank you.
Well, we're sure happy to have you back on the show. We want to finish up what we started a couple of weeks ago on covering the events that took place in your entering into the country. And before we launch into that, Ernie, perhaps I'd like to go through the calendar of events that are going to occur here in the Fairbanks area, and if you got any thoughts on activities that might be important to the mining community or people interested in mining, you could add to it. First of all, we have the Mining Extension Prospecting classes, which are open to the public, and if you'd like to know about these public service classes, you can phone 474-7702 there at the University of Alaska. That's 474-7702. Second item here is Placer Miners of Alaska are going to have a meeting at 7 p.m. on November 10th at Ryan Junior High School. And the third item is that the Corps of Engineers, and this is pretty important to the placer mining community of Alaska, the Corps of Engineers, in cooperation with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension, will hold workshops on filling out Corps of Engineer placer mining permits on November 16th and 17th. And if you'd like to have more information on that particular group of workshops, you can call the UAF Mining Extension. Once again, the number is 474-7702. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Oh, I was one of the sponsors.
Pardon me?
I was looking for one of the sponsors.
One of the sponsors?
Yeah.
Which sponsor?
Bill Wall had went on Problem Quarter a few days ago that they advertised they do wrapping gifts and mailing.
Gift wrappings and mailings. you know what? Call the front office and maybe we can find out who that was.
Okay, do you have the number?
Yeah, 479-5910.
Mm-hmm. 5910.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Ernie, you have anything you might like to add today? You know of any events that might be coming up that the people might like to know about?
No, I think miners will be interested in that Placer Miners of Alaska meeting. I know I am, and I'll be there.
Well, Ernie, can we get you closer to the mic? Yeah, just there you go. Try that out. So just so you're a little bit closer to the mic.
Fine. Yeah. I hope people can hear me now.
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, Ernie, we were a
couple of weeks ago when I had you on the show for our first encounter. We passed through a period of time. We came to Alaska, went through Juneau, visited the Juneau Hard Rock Mines, and well, I understand that the rain in Juneau rang out, caught a boat, went to Valdez, where you then got a ride, hitched a ride with a truck that brought you up to Fairbanks. And at that time, you went to work for the railroad, I understand, as on a section gang. And ultimately, you went, you visited the University of Alaska here on the Hill, which had quite an extensive mining program, and you met with the president. And I think that's about where we left off. And I was wondering, what was the president's name, president of the university's name at that time, and what was he like?
Well, he was the first president of the university. The university really was his creation, his baby. His name was Charles E. Bunnell. There's the building up there is named for him, and there's been a subscription among alumni and others to have a statue of Bunnell set up there, created and set up. Well, what was he like? He was of the old school. He was a crusty old fellow, some people might say. He had a...
Hello again, everyone. This is Howard Cosell. Speaking of sports, exactly as this reporter told you yesterday, Peter Ubrott, the baseball commissioner, assigned Ed Durso of his office to meet with the appropriate members of the United States Senate and the Congress on the question of baseball's expansion. Again, as you learned yesterday, a number of senators have met and called upon baseball and Commissioner Peter Ubrott to expand. Each of the senators in his own way seeking action to provide a franchise for his area. Senator Dennis DeConcini, a franchise for Phoenix, Arizona. That's one case. Senator Tim Wirth of Colorado seeking a franchise for Denver, Colorado. Senator Albert Gore of Tennessee seeking a franchise for Memphis. And so it goes. Each in his own case seeking a franchise. Today, Ed Durso of the commissioner's office met with all of them, made it clear that no commitments have been made to any community yet relative to expansion, and indeed no timetable has been set for expansion. He then set forth again what the commissioner considers the basic and valid criteria for an expansion city to get a team. And of course, Bob Lurie, the owner of the San Francisco Giants, has made it clear, and he will have the backing, I can assure you, of Peter Ubrott in this, that he, Mr. Lurie, wants to keep the Giants in the Bay Area. And you can almost bet your bottom dollar that he will do so. So there it is, the whole question of expansion and it being met in exactly the manner that we depicted yesterday. I'll be back in 60 seconds.
Dr. Wayne to emergency stat. Dr. Wayne to emergency stat.
In the hospital, stat means right away. And when you have a sore throat, you want pain relief right away. That's why our fast-acting sore throat lozenges are called Sepastat. Sepastat. With an anesthetic action that temporarily relieves minor sore throat pain, stat. Sepastat. Now in delicious cherry, too. And for coughs, get Novahistine DMX. Novahistine, a name known and recommended.
We're back online, I assume. Early, you were talking about Bunnell and how they wanted to erect a statue in recognition of his work in developing the University of Alaska.
Yes, Ben Franklin, an early graduate of this school and a lifelong plaster miner, spearheaded that, and the plant that's moving right along. I don't know how long it'll be. Probably a year or two before it's done and up. You'd asked about what kind of a man was Dr. Bunnell. He'd been a federal judge, and he'd worked very hard to establish or have the school established that the state was not a state yet, it was a territory. It was called the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines. He worked night and day to get the school established, and when it was established, to keep it going. It was pretty tough. There wasn't any money. He used to deliver the mail. He used to pack the mail out from Fairbanks. They walk along the railroad tracks because it was closer that way. He seemed to know just how much help a potential student had to have to enroll. In my case, he gave us a hammer and told us to pull a hasp off an old cabin we could stay in. Another person might need a little more help. We'd give him a job waiting table so he could live in the dormitory. But he was a benefactor to many, many students there and managed to keep the school operating and to help many people to get a college education, which they wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Well, let's take a break from that for just a minute. Let's talk about some of the fine businesses that support our program here. The question is here, folks, is how would you like to strike it rich? Well, that's exactly what will happen if you travel out to 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you'll have. An enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy exciting new tastes, the menu alone will be enchanting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktail, stuffed mushroom caps, and the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. Try it. I guarantee you'll love it. There's a complete list of main dishes, including veal plate, seafood plates, chicken plates, and of course, we don't want to forget the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit spread throughout to add a delightfully tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. How about hot drinks? They have all kinds of coffees. And don't forget Two Rivers Special, Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. The number once again is 488-6815. Tell Stasha and Don Jim sent you. Ah, and one other business that I'm going to talk about for just a moment, Larson's Jewelry. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality. And when you want quality, you think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory. So, to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystals that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving surface. But listen, folks, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson's also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble, open 9 to 6 weekdays and 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. Okay, Ernie. we were talking about the president and his being a benefactor to many of the students there at the University of Alaska.
Yes. If people that might want to know more about Dr. Bunnell's character and his achievements, a few years ago, Bill Cashin wrote a book called Farthest North College President, and I'm sure people could get it in the library, or maybe it's still available to buy. This gives his career. Speaking of being a benefactor, I recently ran into a former student who's now ended his career and he's retired. I saw him for the first time in 40 years, and he said that he had corresponded with Bunnell up until Bunnell died, and he was very faithful in keeping up correspondence with former students that he remembered and that he had liked. I think people that are interested in this man's character should get a hold of that book by Bill Cashin, and you can learn a lot more than I could tell, because my experience with him was necessarily covered a shorter range of time.
I know that there were, in addition to Cashin's book, there were a number of other books written at that in the past decade or so regarding Fairbanks in the early days, somewhere around the late 30s and early 40s. When you came into Fairbanks, Ernie, what was it like here? Was it a gun-toting frontier town like we think of the Old West, or exactly what was the atmosphere in the Fairbanks area at that time?
No, it certainly wasn't a gun-toting town. It was a town of about 3,000 or 3,500 people, completely dependent upon placer mining, gold mining. The town had hit rock bottom in about 1922, when the population had shrunk to about 1,200 people. The richest of the ground was worked out, the ground that could be worked by hand methods, and United States Smelting, Refining, and Mining Company had decided that since they were in the placer gold business, that this would be a great place to install dredges. A fellow named Norman Skynes had come in here and consolidated the district. This is usually what has to be done before you can interest big capital and big companies to come in and become more efficient and to revive a camp like this. They took the ground. They called it, it was the United States Smelting, Refining, and Mining Fairbanks Exploration Department. And the Fairbanks Exploration Department, of course, was exploring for gold. And they started a drilling program, very extensive drilling program, and continued it for several years, starting in about 1924. Within a few years, they had large areas of ground outlines that would support dredges, and they started building the dredges. I've forgotten, or maybe I didn't know when the first one started, but it was in the late 20s. And they continued to develop the district and to add more dredges. I believe there finally were 7 dredges operating before it was over. But the town itself, 3,000, 3,500 people, was laid out. It had gravel streets, or no streets at all, or no gravel at all anyway. Dirt streets, pretty muddy at times, pretty dusty at times. There were a great many boardwalks in evidence, but it wasn't a Wild West town by any means. In fact, it's probably one of the most peaceable places that I'd seen. Naturally, a lot of young fellows a long way from home, you would expect a lot of fights. Well, there weren't that many fights compared to other places I've been. I think people were working too hard to make a living to cause much trouble. The commercial and financial center of the camp of Fairbanks was a concrete block building on Illinois Street, which is still there, and that was the office of the Fairbanks Exploration Company. They had a number of engineers. It was divided into departments, and there was an engineer heading each department. There was exploration and dredging and stripping and thawing. It was very well organized and very efficient, and the people that worked for it were hard-working people. We have hard-working people now, but nobody does the kind of hard work that was done a generation ago, because we've got backhoes and all kinds of things to do that kind of work.
Yeah. Ernie, let's take a break for a moment and talk about some of the people that support this program of ours here, Alaska Gold Trails. Arctic Springs. Robert, Charlene, and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing new springs and new bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago. Because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks, they became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. To give you an example of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant, listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and new bolts cold bent to your specifications, and they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Springs handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at what they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings, torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. Finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or your sketch. They have, listen to this, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. Now, the first oven, which is termed the heating oven, can be raised to a temperature of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The second oven, which is called the tempering oven, is raised to 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. And a couple of weeks ago, I made the comment, and Ernie, maybe you can help me if I'm a little bit off on this, but I made the comment that if the heating oven can be raised to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, that perhaps Bob over there at Arctic Springs would be willing to melt down some of the placer finds that placer miners might have into Dory. And Dory, of course, is the gold bars that are produced from the placer finds during the preparation for analysis and evaluation. So with that in mind, I suggested that any of the placer miners out there that might want to reduce their placer finds to a Dory bar, they might contact Bob over there and see if he couldn't accommodate them. And by the way, if by chance this works out for you, give us a call here on Alaska Gold Trails. And the number, of course, is 479-TALK. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. Their phone number, once again, is 451-8612. And before we get back to the show, I'm going to talk about B&L Pawn. B&L Pawn at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let's list a few items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get you through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier. It's attached. However, ask Killer. You never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sundays. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Okay, Lenny, we kind of got an idea of what Fairbanks was like when you arrived. Tell us, you, after arriving, you went to attended the classes at the University of Alaska. How long did you attend classes?
Well, yes, that fall I enrolled in the, at the, it was a university by then. I think it was the third year. It had been a university after having been started as the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines. Well, we were living in an old cabin and living pretty much as probably the early prospectors lived, but it worked right in with the life of a student. We were able to get by without spending a great deal of money. We were off to school. We used to set snares, rabbit snares, going to school, and we'd pick up the rabbits on the way home, and we got along fine. The other students had done that and were doing that. There was a good article in, reprinted from the Farthest North Collegian, which was the school paper, by the Loftus brothers, and they had built a big, a nice cabin on the banks of the Noyes Slough, or the Jenny M. Slough, and the title of the article was a homestead frat house, a frat house being a fraternity house. Very interesting and good pictures. By the way, for a description of Fairbanks in the 30s, Karl Mach, who recently is deceased, was written up in the Heartland little Sunday section in the newspaper. Remember about 2 months ago, and if anybody could get a hold of that and see the pictures and see his description of the town, it would be a very good description of Fairbanks and the work in the middle and late 30s. Well, I went to school, and it wasn't a very, they were all wooden buildings. There was one concrete building finished, and that was the girls' dormitory, and there was I think what they call Founders Hall now, which has been refurbished, was also there. And that was the downstairs was being used for the gymnasium, and the upstairs was the library with about 20,000 volumes at the time, which is nothing now. I think some of the branch libraries from the university have more books than that, but it was an accomplishment. The teachers were excellent. They, I think we got just as good an engineering training as you could get anywhere, even though they may have had to make some of the equipment. The teachers would make some of the equipment and demonstrations themselves, but there wasn't much money anywhere, so they were just doing what everybody had to do. I went to school that year, and then I, along with a lot of other folks, I had to lay out the next year and try to get a little money ahead and to pay some of the debts that I'd picked up from the first year. So I didn't finish. It took 3 years to finish the two that I had to do.
What did you do to generate those funds, Aaron?
Well, the first work was cutting wood down at the foot of the hill. There's, I don't know if you'd call it a little settlement down there now. I guess there's some businesses, a number of businesses, but we cut the wood there. The president, Bunnell, was the only fellow in the country that seemed to have any money because he had a steady job. And it was a period of recession or depressed times. Although the gold mining was booming, the people who had taken homesteads had pretty much, some of them were disappointed and had to drop them. And as they would drop, he would buy the homesteads. He told about a lady named Widener. Her husband had died. They'd taken a homestead down close to the university. And he had gone to see her to see how she was doing, and he knocked on the door of the homestead cabin, and she told him to come in, and he found her skinning a rabbit in the middle of the floor. She was destitute and almost hungry all the time, and so she came to him a few days later and said, "You're the only one I know who's got any money. I want $1,000 for that homestead so I can get outside." And he gave it to her. It might seem like a great bargain, and that he might have taken advantage of her, but actually he had done her a great benefit, because she couldn't have gotten outside any other way. In the year that I laid out, that I didn't go to school, I spent most of the year working for the newly created Department of Mines, Territorial Department of Mines. One of the fellows who had been a professor at the school was doing experimental geophysical exploration, and I worked as a field assistant to him for two summers, and then part of the winter working up the beta.
Was that Justin?
Yeah, Henry Justin, his name was. He had quite a career with the United States Geological Survey and geophysics. He died about 15 years ago.
Let's take a little break and talk about some of the people that contribute to Alaska Gold Trails. Hector's Welding has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Talk about stealing iron stock for any job you have. Hector has over 600 tons of stock on hand. Folks, keep that one in mind. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. No job is too small or too large for the skilled staff at Hector's Welding. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. Mining equipment fabrication is a specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. They have a portable welding unit for fast on-site repairs, and a specialty for you truckers. They straighten lowboy, highboy, and truck frames. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service. Flocculants for the placer mining industry. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available. So, placer miners, all you have to do is stop out at Hector's and pick up the kit. Remember, it's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment. Located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, phone 488-6432. That's 488-6432. And, folks, it's bonanza time at Tip Top Chevrolet. Robbie at Tip Top says all 1987 trucks must go. They are having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The six-year, 60,000 miles, limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive, and make them an offer. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, two or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on these sales models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection, a smooth ride with fully independent front suspension standard, excellent visibility. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s. Handsome styling with comfort and convenience. All units in stock have four-wheel drive. And the S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, sizes to fit your needs, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension. Hot wax coating on the entire frame helps fight effects of road salt and dirt. And on the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is standard. Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet side or step side boxes available. Crew cab or bonus cab available. And the option, gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 Cushman Street, phone 452-8211. And remember, a safety tip from Robbie, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Then you went back to school following that year of, what do you call that, sabbatical?
No, that wasn't a sabbatical. It was a necessary vacation to recoup finances, I guess you'd call it.
I see.
I had had 2 years of college work when I got here, so I had 2 years to put in. I did those 2 years in 3 years, trying to make a little money on the side. We've had fellows from that school of mine that took, I think the record was 12 years to get through, but they got through and they had professional careers during and after the time they were going to school. And I just thought of another source for people that might be interested in that era. The first dean of the School of Mines was Dr. Ernest N. Patty, and he wrote a book, I think in the 60s, called The North Country Challenge. It gives a very good description of the early years of that college, and he had a very successful career in placer mining and dredging after he left the college as dean. And then he came back as president. And his years as president were very successful, too. He did a lot for that school. Let's see now. We were talking about me going to school. I graduated in 1941. And it was becoming obvious at that time that there was a war going on. Was beginning to look like we would be in that war, and it was also becoming obvious that the gold mining effort in the district was slacking off. I don't think it really, it kept going for another year, but I had an offer when I graduated from something called the Carnegie Institution of Washington, which was a geophysics of the earth. Mostly it was terrestrial magnetism, and I did go to work for them, and we got in the war that winter, and from then on there wasn't, that was a part of the war effort, and I put in the warriors in the interior. They were fighting in the Aleutians, but even the fellows at Ladd Field, and most of the people of my age were at Ladd Field, Fort Wayne right now. We didn't hear much about that Aleutian campaign. Once in a while, someone would come back and we'd hear about it. But I read later the reason for that. They were absolutely adamant against having any correspondence or anything in that theater. So that's what I did with my education for the first couple of years. After the war, I became interested in the Chandelier district and spent several, I think altogether, parts of 10 years either in that district or the Eastern Keokuk district prospecting.
Is that where you met this fellow O'Keefe?
Oh yes, Denny O'Keefe he was one of the younger old timers in the camp, and he had come there in the late 20s, come to Wiseman, and worked in the drift mines with the old timers.
What's a drift mine, Frank?
Oh, It's an underground placer mine, and placer drift mining was practiced in California in the semi-consolidated gravels, tertiary gravels there. But it was ready made for Alaska, where the gravels were frozen. You could just sink a shaft, just as in hard rock mining, on the center of the pay streak, which was some elongated strip down the middle of the creek that had the gold in paying quantities. You sink a hole there, and you run a drift upstream, and then run two lateral drifts out to the edge of the pay streak, and then start working back towards the shaft. And some of the gravel was steam. When you sink the hole with steam, you'd have a boiler on the surface, and you run a pipe down, and introduce the pipe, the steam through a special pipe called a point, steam point. You drive that steam point in, and while the steam was going into it, and you'd have to turn it and twist it and pound it to drill through the rocks that you encountered. When you got the point down, maybe 6 feet or 8 feet, and you let it steam about an hour to the foot. Well, after the main drift and the lateral drifts were in, they would start working back towards the shaft. They would drive longer points horizontally back into the gravel, and they might have a room in there, finally 6 or 8 feet high, and they use wheelbarrows to wheel the gravel. After the gravel was thawed, of course, they'd have to pick it down and shovel it into wheelbarrows and wheel it back to the shaft, and then it was raised, hoisted in a special carrier. I think there were probably some in the museums around yet. This thing would pull the bucket up, and then when the bucket got to the surface, it would run up the high line and dump on what they call the winter dump. And by spring, of course, that thing was frozen, and you'd have to thaw it with steam before you could sluice it. But that was drift mining. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd just recover the gold in a standard sluice box, wouldn't you?
Yeah, in the spring you just do it in a standard sluice box.
Let's take a little break here and talk about some of the people that support Alaska Gold Trails. Gold Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you know you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, get this, ladies and gentlemen, Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicle ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, You'll also get free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might write that number down and put it in your glove box. You can call Gabe's at 456-6156, and he will take care of your vehicle and probably save you money at the same time. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. Okay, Ernie, we've got
a minute and a half.
A minute and a half.
Well, less than a minute.
Okay. Did you want to give me a few moments on the book that you wrote? What was the name of the book you wrote, Ernie?
Well, that's the handbook for the Alaskan prospector. And after I spent several summers in the Chandler District drilling. And after that brief interval, I worked for the School of Mines, and I did a little teaching there, although I had to go back to school to get an advanced degree. And while I was doing the teaching, I wrote this book as well as I could.
Well, that book gained a lot of recognition throughout the mining community of Alaska, and it's currently in its third edition. Ernie, it's time has just simply slipped away on us, and I want to thank you for coming in and sharing your time with us today. I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. Next week's guest is Rudy Vetter, a local Fairbanks miner. It's been fun, folks. Until next week, happy prospecting.
ABC News, I'm John Decker. A man armed with a fire axe is holding as many as 12 people hostage aboard an air canada jet at San Francisco International Airport. ABC's Dick Leonard is at the scene.
Big plane, flight number 756, just come in.